from the 5th chapter of the St. Luke's Gospel. Let me get this thing worked up here. Thank God. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse, Luke chapter number 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for the draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's going to conclude the reading tonight. Honey, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will, and lead us in prayer, asking God to anoint and bless tonight. Will you stand and pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. My God, have your divine will, I pray. In the name of Jesus. My God, that these lips of clay might be anointed, and my heart might be full, and the people's ears will be attentive to the word. In the name of Jesus, holy. Have your divine will, God. Have your divine will. Holy. Yes. Yes, God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. In the first verse, there is an important thought. The Bible said the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. When I was reading that and preparing the sermon, I thought, no doubt there are many that had seen the miracles and heard what he had done amongst the others, and some had even heard him preach and teach. In fact, there was a time when some came to him and heard him preach and went back to the leaders and said, never man spake like this man. And so now the people, the multitudes, have gathered down next to the seaside, the seashore, to hear what Jesus had to say. And I thought, wouldn't it be something today if people had a hunger to hear the word of God? Wouldn't it be something tonight that every professing Christian have a desire and a burden in their hearts to know more about the Lord and what He has to say. But that seemingly is no longer the case with so many. Seem to be a hunger for everything else other than the Word of God. Something that, well, they want to hear something that will cause them to feel good. People want to hear something that will not bring condemnation or bring conviction, but they want somebody to tell them that everything's all right. That everything, you just keep on doing the best you can. But brother, if we read the Bible will get right down where we live. It'll let us know what needs to be done and what is missing in our lives. The crowd was different. They gathered in close to hear what God has to say. Now, what I say now, please take it to heart. I'm going to use my wife and I as an example. We are no better than anyone else, and so I hope you understand this, but since we got saved, when it's time to go to the house of God, we have always made it a policy and a practice to sit close to the front. And some of them maybe have asked us why. not because we were anxious to be seen, but I found out early in life that when you sit close to the back, you see every time someone's head moves. And every time a teenager whispers. And every time a baby sort of gets rowdy. And there are many other things that I could say right there, but I have noticed in my lifetime and in the ministry that the devil will try as much as he can to distract you from hearing what God has to say. I'll use another illustration. The other Sunday morning in Sunday school class, we had already begun and I was teaching the class. And all of a sudden, Crawford came in and his daughter and his son were standing in the hall. And I don't know whether he was talking to them about going on to the young adult class or coming on into our class, but I lost the class for about 30 seconds. I could have just shut down and waited because everyone was looking at the door what was going on. And that happens. But my wife and I, all of our Christian experience, we've had a desire to get closer to the front so that we might be a part in the worship without being distracted. And I said that to say this, the devil will distract. He'll get your mind off of what's going on. You say, well, Brother Jones, it doesn't bother me. But it does. I thought about a time when we were in England and we had a leader of the Assemblies of God come from London to our church to minister one Sunday morning and one Sunday night. In fact, he was the General Secretary Treasurer of the Assemblies of God in England. And as he was preaching, he was a younger man and he had some young children. And while he was preaching, his little child was walking up and down the aisle. And the preacher stopped and said, don't let my daughter, or whatever it was, don't let her bother you. It doesn't bother me. Let me tell you something. That child was bothering everybody in the church. The reason I've said all of that, these people came to hear what God had to say. They were getting close to Him, and it's down close to the shore of the Sea of Gennesaret. And the Bible says, while the people of Christ were there and gathering in close, and the fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, had been fishing all night, and they come in, and they had put their boats there to the shore, and tied them up, and they were washing their nets, and the Bible said Jesus got in Peter's boat and said to Peter, push off from the shore so that I might be able to minister to the people that are standing there on the shore, because if you're real close to Him, those that were over there could not see Him nor hear Him, but as He's sitting out there in a ship, in a boat, in the Sea of Gennesaret, then His voice could carry and they could hear. And so He wanted to preach so that the people could hear. Somebody said a long time ago to me, said, Brother Jones, when you preach, preach loud enough so that they can hear you. Preach till you finish. And when you finish, sit down. I've known some that have preached the sermon, and then they would preach it another time, going from back to front. Say it over and over again, but somebody a long time ago, and I don't even know who, when you stand before the people, talk loud enough so they can hear you. I've tried my best. Sometimes I've lost my voice. But this is what I want to say tonight. Jesus teaching the people from the boat. And they are pressing close by to hear what He had to say. And I thought, God, give us one more revival in America where people will have a hunger to hear what God has to say. One more time when the people will have a love for the Bible, for the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where people will be so concerned about Bible study and Sunday school and daily devotions, where the Bible will come alive in the hearts and in the lives. Give us one more revival for the hunger of the Word. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. And they were there to hear what God had to say. On another occasion in today's text, Peter and the others have spent all night toiling and they're tossing their nets. And the Bible said they had nothing to show for it. They caught nothing that night. And after they tied up their boats and washing their nets, Jesus said unto them, now I want you to go back out and cast your nets again. Go back out there, and this time you'll not return empty. You're going to catch some. Now, I want you to see what's going on. Peter is a professional fisherman. He is not overexcited about the suggestion that Jesus is making. He has toiled all night, and if you want to know what it was, he's not out there in a boat with a pole, with a rod and reel. He's casting nets. They cast the nets out, and then they pull them in. They move along, and they cast them out, and they pull them in all night long, and caught nothing. They're tired. Their bodies are worn. They're not interested in going back out. But the Lord says, go back out, and you will catch fish. You'll catch a lot of fish. And so the Bible says, since it was the Master, and I was talking to Peter, he continued to go, although he went reluctantly. Surely he was not excited about going back out there. And the sixth verse says, and they called on that trip, they called a multitude of fish. Let me leave this region tonight. The Bible lets me to know that when God told Peter and the others to go back out there, after being tired and laboring all night, go back out there one more time, Peter did not want to go. Peter really knew more about fishing, he thought, than Jesus did. I'm a professional. In fact, this is my profession, and I have made a living catching fish. And we haven't caught anything all night, and you're asking me to go back out one more time. And then the Bible says, and they went out and they caught so many fish that they called for the other ship, the other boat to come over, and they put the fish in the other boat, and both boats were about to sink. I don't know how many fish it takes to sink a boat, but they caught some fish. They caught some fish that day. And I thought, it's always good to obey God. When you don't see, when you don't understand, when you cannot see the end result, when you cannot know how it's going to all work out except God has said go. And go back and fish again. This time they did not come back empty handed. And I thought, when we go God's route, it's always this way. When we obey God, He always does more than we can imagine. He always blesses in a greater measure than we realize. In fact, I jotted something down, and I want to just speak, if I can find it somewhere here, I've got it somewhere. If I find it, I'll let you know. But it has to do with how that God blesses beyond anything we can understand, anything we can imagine. How that now God, they fished all night and caught nothing, and now they've got two boatloads. And so I have 2 points that I would like to mention to begin with. I want you to see what it was that what was required in order for them to have a miracle. Then I want us to see what the miracle really demonstrated, what they learned from the miracle. We're living in a day when a lot of people have tried to make everything a miracle. They have taken it to such an extent that, and I've heard people say this, it was a miracle that I woke up this morning. It was a miracle that I got to work on time. It was a miracle this, a miracle that. We have cheapened the word miracle. Miracle is something far beyond our ability. And God said, Peter, go back out there with the boats. Take your nets and cast them again, and you're going to catch a fish, an abundance of fish. And I thought, if we'll obey God, God will surely come to our rescue and see to it that things happen. And so the first part tonight, what was required in order for them to experience in a miracle? He called for them to labor. He called for them to work. He called for them to go back out there. He said, go! When it seemed like there was no reason to go. There was nothing out there. They had caught nothing. But he said, go! And secondly, he said, go and work. Go and labor. Go and cast the nets. Listen closer tonight. Sometimes we feel like, what is the use to go any further? I've tried it. I pray again. I've tried it. I prayed, and nothing happened. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting God. And the third part about a miracle, Jesus was calling for faith when circumstances suggested doubt. He called for them to have faith. I'm sending you back down there. Cast your nets again, and you're going to catch some fish. And although they fished all night with nothing, if we'll go by faith and believe God, God will take care. Last Saturday morning, he gave this devotion for the men's fellowship about George Muller. A tremendous testimony. Man, I mean, everybody now, we have a book about that thick of the life of George Muller, and then there's another book that's thinner, and I believe it's been checked out of the library, but if you haven't read the life story of George Muller, get it and read it.
It'll increase your faith. He was a man that God used for miracles. It was nothing out of the ordinary to have a miracle every day. I'm talking about a miracle. Miracles. And sometimes, and I say this humbly before God with all of us, sometimes God would like to give a miracle in our lives, but we're not really whatever. Isn't it true? We can make it. Oh God, give us. Help us. Help us one more time, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so Peter and the others went out reluctantly, and they caught so many fish that two boats were loaded down, unable to take care of them all. And we see that what they learned from the miracle, that Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God, is Lord of all. He knows all. He's the Creator. He's in control. Let me leave this with you tonight. He still controls the heavens and the earth. I know that Satan is out there. He's out to destroy. But our God is greater. Our God is in control. And Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Thank God for that. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Amen. If God allows something to come my way, it's for my good and for the glory of God. But God knows. God knows. And I can say tonight from this miracle that God has all power and all knowledge, and He knows what He's doing. Thank God. The second thing that they learned from this miracle was that Satan comes as a roaring lion. He's out to destroy anyone that he can, how to devour anyone that he can. But I have read the Bible through. And although Peter said that Satan comes as a roaring lion, I see to devour whom he may. I read in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is not a roaring lion. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Almighty. He is in control. Hallelujah. And we learn that God is concerned about people's needs. And this is important tonight for us to understand. God's more concerned about our needs than we are. Amen. We've had some testimonies recently how that God has come on the scene and met a need. Financially. Physically, maybe. Whatever. God's a big God. And He's concerned about every need that we have. Every need. He's more concerned about our needs than we are. And I want you to see Peter. Peter and Andrew and James and John are a partnership, and they make their living fishing on the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says that now they hadn't caught anything, and the Lord sends them back out there, and they catch a bunch of fish, a pile of fish, two boatloads of fish. I want us to understand this. God is concerned about taking care of us and meeting every need. And God knew what He was going to do. He was going to call Peter and Andrew and James and John to the ministry. He was going to call them away from their fishing boats. And He had to make them to realize that if they leave the fishing nets, He's still God. That He can take care. And so He has them to catch two boatloads of fish. Let them know, if I can give you a miracle of catching fish when you could not catch any last night, I can take care of you when I call you to go out and minister. Amen. Sometimes I think we overlook the small things. But God is concerned about taking care and meeting the needs of the lives of each one. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I have found that to be so. I've testified over and over again, and I'm going to testify again tonight, since the night that my wife and I got saved until tonight. February 1955 until July 2012, God has met every need of our lives. We have never one time, listen closely, we have never one time, even though we were out of the pastorate for 18 months, never one time have we gone with a bill lacking, a bill missing for a month and that was overdue, and got called on the carpet or sent a letter or something that you owe this or that. Listen closely, God has met every need from 55 until 12. That is a 57 years. What's saying, preacher? Not that my wife and I are special, but God's special. And he told Peter, I'll take care of you. I'll show you, Peter, a miracle. And if I can have you to catch that many fish one night or one day when you couldn't catch anything last night, I can surely take care of you when I call you to the ministry, when I send you out into the ministry. When they came back, when they got the boats loaded down, and now the boats were about to sink, the Bible said, and that Peter went to Jesus, and he knelt before him, and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He had experienced a miracle. And now he had doubted, first of all he had doubted, and now he's seen the handiwork of God and the power of God. He said, as he knelt before the Lord, there on that boat, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Listen closely, he did not feel that he was worthy to be in the presence of God. He had been boisterous. He had been a know-it-all when he came to fishing. But now he realizes there's someone greater. And he knows it all. Not me. And he bows before the Lord. In essence, he is repenting. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of what you have done. I'm not worthy of your blessings. I'm not worthy of a miracle. I doubted you, Lord. I didn't believe that would happen. I couldn't imagine in my mind how we could catch any fish after toiling all night and catching nothing. But God, I know that you're God. And I'm sorry, as he bows before the Lord saying, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. I am repenting, I am sorry. He's broken before the Lord, he's humble before the Lord. He realizes there's nothing and can do nothing. And let me say this tonight, until we, all of us, and today I have no one in mind, my family nor yours, but until we can be broken, we can't be used. I've told you the story, but it still sticks in my mind. We arrived in England in 1955 in the month of September in the military. We stayed in Thetford in a hotel for a week or two or whatever. Then we rented a house trailer in Brandon and found out about, then I bought an automobile quick as I could, through the PX, and then we found out that we'd been to the Salvation Army services, and we'd been to the Methodist Church, and we'd been to the Baptist Church there in Thetford, but we found out about an Assemblies of God church out in Lincoln Heath. And so after I bought the automobile one Wednesday night, we went out to go to a prayer meeting. Found out that they were having prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and so we went to Lincoln Heath for prayer meeting, and it was snowing, lightly snowing. It's now about maybe October, first of November. It was lightly snowing, and we pulled up at the church, and no one was coming. No one, it's almost time to start the service, and no one's there. We found out where the church was, and there we were, and no one was there. Finally, we heard someone whistling, a GI, when we all get to heaven. I knew we were close by somewhere. And so I came to the car where we were seated, where we were waiting, and he said, will you come into the service tonight? We said, yes. He said, because of the weather, they called it off, and they're meeting at the parsonage. If you want to go, follow me. And so we followed this young man and went to the parsonage, and there was a woman pastor, Sinners of God pastor. And we followed him inside, and we heard some people praying in the back, sort of a back gathering room or den or something. And we had never been before, first time there, and we walked down the hall with this gentleman and stood at the door, and I saw something that caught my attention, and I heard some words that have stayed with me all of these years from 1955 in about October, November, December time, 1955. The pastor. We didn't know who the pastor was. But the pastor, a woman, was over by the fireplace. Had a pillow. She was down on her knees and down on her face. And her face was right in the pillow. And this is what she was saying. Bend me lower. Dear God, bend me lower. And that struck a chord in my heart. That woman was asking God to bend her lower. And she was just as low as she could be physically. But she was really wanting to be more humble before the Lord. Do you know why a lot of miracles don't happen? Because we're too big in our own eyes. Be humble before the Lord. Broken. I might as well tell you tonight, I love to see people when they go to the altar and get up with tears on the altar. That doesn't mean that you have to do that in order to love God. But I like to see people broken. I like for God to break me. Amen. I make the best headway praying when I am broken and begin to cry. Amen. You say, well, Brother Jones, just give it with me. That's all right. I'm not saying anything different along that line, but when that woman, Sister Sergeant was her name, when she was praying, bend me lower, lower, I thought in my mind, how can you be any lower? And yet I realized she's talking about spiritually speaking. Help me, God, to be humble at your feet. Help me, God, to realize I'm nothing. Let me leave this with you tonight, folks. We are nothing without Him. We can do nothing without Him. Brother Tom mentioned this morning how he's talked to Brother Ochoa and talked to these others. And we're seeking the will of God. And I can say this one more time tonight. I want the will of God for this church more than I want anything in this world. Amen. Amen. I want the will of God in your life and in my life and for the church. And I know the Lord's going to come. And I might go before the Lord comes. I might be called out of this world at any time. But I want the will of God. I want the Lord's will. Hallelujah. And now the Bible tells me that Peter realizes that I have been boisterous. I have felt like that I knew fishing. I thought that I knew better than the Lord our Master. And now I've obeyed what He said. And I'm humble before the Lord. And He says, so I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I repent in your presence. I see that God now comes on the scene. The Bible says in the 5th chapter of Matthew, in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And it also says, blessed are. There's one other that I wanted to mention, if I can think of it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean, Brother Jones? Somebody that realizes, without you I'm nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. God help us tonight to realize there are miracles awaiting the people of God. There are miracles that God has for you and I. If we'll just realize that the desire of our heart is to do His will and obey Him. Peter says, as a broken man, I'm sorry, God. Depart from me, I'm a sinner. That's why we sing the chorus, I lean on you, Lord, I lean on you. We realize and we understand that we're totally dependent upon God. Without Him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. And thirdly, in the 9th and 10th verses, not only was Peter astonished and amazed at the amount of fish that they caught, but the others were amazed and astonished as well, the Bible says. And in reality, all this had taken place, and I've said all of that to say this right now. All of this was an object lesson. I went to school a long time ago, before modern days, and we didn't have show and tell. We did have object lessons, but I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what they were called, but they would show something and an object lesson. But this was an object lesson. Jesus has done all of this, giving miracles of a dried of fish, 2 boatloads, and now Peter is humble before the Lord. All of this has happened because God is giving an object lesson. He's letting them to know. He says these words in the verses that I've read. From henceforth, you're going to catch men. No longer are you going to follow the fishing trade, but I'm calling you. I'm calling you to preach. I'm calling you to the ministry. I'm calling you to witness. I'm calling you to share the gospel. To leave your nets, to leave the fishing. And from henceforth ye shall catch men. And God was giving it as an object lesson. Let me leave something with you tonight. He was saying, don't worry about your mortgage payment. Fear not about the food for your family and clothing and housing and the rest for your family. Fear not about these things. I'm God. He told Moses, when Moses said, God, I'm unable to speak, God says, fear not, Moses, I am that I am. Joshua, when God called him, and the Bible says Moses is dead, and God calls Joshua, and God says to Joshua, fear not, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so as I shall be with thee. When he talked to Isaiah, he said, fear not, Isaiah. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, Isaiah. God had done all of this because now he's calling the disciples to ministry. Leaving the nets. Who's going to take care of my family? God, in essence, says, I'm the miracle worker. I will. Who's going to provide the food? If I'm not fishing, what am I going to do? How am I going to have a living? God says, I am the miracle worker. I will take care. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. 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 Fear thou not. When we were singing the first hymn tonight, in the very first verse, there's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not. I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Fear not. Fear not. And I'm going to close in a few moments of time. This is important. The reason a lot of miracles do not take place, because we feel like I can make it without the miracle. If that miracle of fish had not occurred, taken place, Peter would possibly have had difficulty leaving it all behind to go out yonder, who's going to take care of my family. But if God could give that miracle, God could take care of Peter. And the last thought in the scripture, and the Bible says, and they forsook all and followed Jesus. Thank you, church, for being who you are. They forsook all and followed Jesus. There's nothing more important tonight in your life and my life than to forsake all and follow Jesus. What does it mean? I could preach a sermon here. I preached on that very topic, forsaking all. But let me just leave a brief moment right here. It means something to forsake all, to leave, walk away from everything, to follow Jesus. I am not preaching something that I read somewhere. I'm preaching something that God called us to. When God said, walk away from that and follow me, some people thought, Brother Jones, you are foolish. How ridiculous. You are a young man. In 9 years you can retire. How foolish to leave the service and go to the ministry. And when you read the fifth chapter of Luke, and the disciples forsook all and followed Jesus, and look what God did through their lives. God can do the same thing through us. I hope you understand. I am not here to lift up my wife and I. We've done nothing more than so many others. But when God called us to forsake all, He meant all. When we stepped out by faith, all that we knew is what God said to. But we had not been out there too many months, too many years, 2 years, and God gave a miracle in our family when He healed Mike of a brain tumor. He was letting us to know that He could take care. When He spoke to our hearts about going full-time into ministry in May of 1962, and the church was growing, but it surely hadn't grown that large, and some finances were coming in, but not enough to take care of a pastor and his family and pay the bills, And I've told you the story, but it does me good every time I tell it. God spoke to Russell to go full-time in the ministry, May 1962. My wife and I, God spoke to us individually, her praying at home and me praying in the church at nighttime. We announced to the church that next Sunday night, we're leaving the secular work and going full-time in the ministry. The church was paying us $10 a week. You remember the story that I told you. We had two deacons. Both of them had been saved in the church. One was a military man, a tech sergeant in the army. The other was a man in the civil service. They called a board meeting after that service, and they were excited, and I thought, my, they know something. And they said, and then they began to cry, and they said, Brother Jones, you cannot live. Oh, but we know how much you're getting, and we know how much we can pay. We know how much money's coming in. The secretary treasurer was there, and these deacons were there, and they said these words, and it still does something in my heart. Brother Wilmot spoke up and said, you cannot live off of that, but I will get a second job and work at night so that you'll have food on your table. And Brother Franklin Six, full-blooded Cherokee Indian, another deacon that he got saved in that church, he began to cry and said, I'll get a second job myself. And I'm going to give you the rest of the testimony. Neither of them ever had to get a second job to take care of us because God had said, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And God has met every need of our lives. Some people don't understand. Some people might never understand. But He'll take care. He'll take care. And the Bible says they forsook all and followed Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter received the Holy Ghost along with the others. And he preached one sermon. Had more people saved in that one sermon than a lot of preachers, including me, that have had saved in their lifetime. One sermon. Came a time in his life when miracles were real. And they had Peter walk down the street, and they brought the lame and the sick and all the rest and laid them there at the curbing, and the sun over here and the shadow of Peter fell upon those that were sick and lame and all the rest, and God healed them through the power of Peter, through the shadow of Peter. Listen closely. There was no power in Peter. There was no power in his shadow, but God was real. Miracles. He went in one time to a woman in the auxiliary that had died. And he said, Talitha Kumi, arise! And a dead woman rose up, hallelujah, and went back to work in the woman's auxiliary, needed in the church miracles. Why? Because they forsook all and followed the Lord. Church tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something with me. Let's recommit, rededicate, renew our vows from time to time. We've had some couples to renew their vows. Many in the 50th anniversary. Many of those that have already done that have already gone on to glory. And some that have done that, one has gone on to glory and the other still here. They renewed their vows, and I thought tonight would be a good time. God help us to forsake all, everything that's holding us in any sense of the word. Forsake all and follow the Lord. If God says go out when you don't feel good, go out. When your body's tired and give out like Peter was on that occasion, he would rather go home and rest. He's worked all night, caught nothing. He would rather go home and take it easy. But God said go. Go when you feel like there's no hope. If God says go, go. Obey the Lord and see what God will do. They forsook all and followed Jesus. Look what God did. Do you believe He's able to do the same for us? Does God love us? Is God able to give us revival? Surely. Is our God one more time able to give miracles in the church? Come on to the piano, honey. We've seen miracles and we've preached about miracles and have known people. Saw them. And I could go down a list of several. And many of those I've already told you about. Miracles, miracles. miracles. And the same God is still alive tonight. And we're saying, and I just mentioned this one more time from England, and I close. When I heard about it, it was hard to believe. And here I was raised in a Pentecostal church and in a holiness home. Seeing the power of God, seeing God heal in my own family, my brother and my sister healed. And when I heard that there's going to be a man there that was born without eyeballs, with empty sockets, it's going to be at the meeting at the Royal Albert Hall in London, and we were going to see him. That was hard to take in. A man 60-some years of age, empty eye sockets, no eyeballs, born that way. Man of the four-square gospel. And one day, while the people were praying, God gave him new eyes. And his eyes were sparkling like a baby's. Clear, beautiful. And we saw him. A miracle. Can God still do it? If he did it for George Moore, and if he did it for this four-square gospel man in England, he could do miracles in our lives. Let's believe him for it. Forsake all. Forsake all to follow the Lord. Cut loose of everything, everything, everything that will hinder. And let's seek God tonight. Believe in God for a miracle in our lives and in our hearts. I mentioned in the Sunday school lesson, oftentimes we pass it over. And I am guilty. We hear various prayer requests. And we pray, and then we go on our way and maybe never think of them anymore. And I was praying out here yesterday evening, and the thought came to me when Missy, and I said this in Sunday school, Missy mentioned the other Sunday morning about her brother, Buddy. We were talking about, comes a time when God will no longer strive with man, and they will believe a lie and be damned. And she was concerned about her brother being left behind in the tribulation, and then have no chance to be saved, maybe. Be cut off. The Spirit of the Lord will have a deal with him, man. She said, I don't want my brother to be lost. I want to see him saved. And I was praying here last night, yesterday evening, and Buddy came to mind. That testimony, that very request came to mind that missing. I was praying for Buddy. I'm expecting people to pray for my loved ones as I pray for yours. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. I believe in miracles. God, help us forsake all to follow the Lord. Will you stand with me?